Join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with an ambidextrous God.
Of young men in the hood and gangbangers who I remember seeing an interview. Somebody said, well, what about when you get old? You thought about it? He said, I ain't going to get old. He said, no. He said, by the time I'm 25, I'll probably be dead. He just accepted that. Know what that is? That's trauma. Because you've seen it happen so much that you start thinking what's abnormal is normal. Are y'all listening to me? And so we're faced with all these even mental attacks. And then we also have the pandemic of devastation. So we got disease, discrimination, depravity, depression, domestic, division, death, and devastation. And sometimes all these things seem like they're hitting us at once. And you can feel like you're surrounded. And Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said, but these things have I spoken unto you. I'm letting you know stuff is going to happen, that in me, you might have peace. That's John 16:33. In me, you might have peace. Now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you have peace. Don't miss that. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you can have peace. Despite the tribulation, which is just a big word for trouble, despite the trouble of the world, Jesus said, in me you can have peace. And so the scripture says it's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know all this stuff is going around, but you got to stay in him. In the midst of the pandemic, I'm in him. In the midst of disease, I'm in him. In the midst of discrimination, I'm in him. In the midst of depression and division and devastation and death, I'm in him. So all this stuff is going on around me and I still have peace. So Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to see it all around you. Can I tell you, just because it's around you, it doesn't have to get in you. My word to somebody today is don't let it get in you. Don't let it get in you. Don't let it get in you. Come on. You can grow up in the hood, but don't let the hood get in you. You can grow up in the poverty, but don't let poverty get in you. Are you hearing me? It may be all around you. Just don't let it get in you. Walk through it. That may be where I am, but that's not who I am. That may be what I've been around, but that's not me. That may be what I've been exposed to, but it's not where I'm going. Come on. Don't let it get in you, because when it get in you, you start thinking like that. You start acting like that. Come on. I'm in this, but it's not in me. Woo, Jesus. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, cheer up. Put a smile on your face. Get your countenance together. Lift up your eyes to the hills. Oh, come on. Put a smile on your face. See yourself out. See yourself better. See yourself coming through. See yourself rich. See yourself yourself healed. See yourself delivered. See yourself dancing. See yourself shouting. Come on, you got to cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Jesus, I've overcome the world. Now, that doesn't mean anything if you don't understand that because Jesus has overcome the world and we accept Jesus, we're in him, but now he's in us and we become one with him. If Jesus is an overcomer, I'm an overcomer. The overcomer lives in me. John says in 1 John, he says, I write unto you little children because you've overcome the wicked one. You got to know I've overcome the wicked one. So you need to understand that in the world we're going to face problems and we're going to face enemies. If you don't want to have any enemies, opposition, then don't attempt to do anything significant. If you don't want any enemies, you don't want any opposition, you don't want any obstacles, anything, or anyone trying to stop you or block you, don't do anything significant. Just be average. Just be a boat in the middle of the ocean without a motor and without oars. Just let life take you where it takes you. Que sera, sera. Let your beginning determine your ending. Let your environment determine who you are. But no, if you are going to go against the current, and if you're going to push against the obstacles, and if you're going to be who God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do, and have what God wants you to have, you are going to have enemies, and you're going to have opposition. So somebody asked the question years ago, can you stand to be blessed? Because many times it's not poverty, it's not depravity, it's not lack, it's not negative things that cause people to give up. Sometimes it's because they're blessed and they can't stand the persecution. Sometimes it's because they're prosperous and they don't like the fact that everybody isn't happy that they're prospering. I preached from the scripture a couple weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 9. Paul says there's a great door. God's opened up a great door. I got great opportunities, great opportunity for ministry. He says, and it's effective. It can be very effective. But there are what? There are many adversaries. That verse from the New Living Translation you heard a few weeks ago. He said, the adversaries mean there are many that oppose me. Come on, if you're going to do anything great for God, get ready for the opposition. Get ready for the opposition. Get ready for the opposition. I told you all years ago, because I had heard about preachers who God was blessing, God was using, and who got hate mail and all those kind of stuff. Man, when the first time I started getting hate mail, And people say they didn't like what I was saying and tell them what I'm preaching, the heresy and all, I start rejoicing. I said, oh, look at me. Oh, thank God. I'm a threat to the devil. I rank. I am somebody. Come on. If people are hating on you, you need to say, I am somebody. You're not even close to what the vision that you have for your life. You haven't done anything yet, and you got folks trying to stop you. Come on, the devil trying to hinder you from doing what you're doing now. Man, you know you're destined for greatness. Paul said there's a wide door open, but there's many adversaries. And sometimes the more blessed you are, you got to get prepared for the more enemies you're going to have. And some enemies come with your calling. Some enemies come with your assignment. Let me talk a little bit more about that. So why do enemies come? Number one, first of all, enemies come because you're chosen. Just because you're chosen. Jesus said in John 15 and 16, he said, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you. I don't ordain you, separated you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Now, why? Oh, this is so good. Let me break this down. He said, I've chosen you to be productive. I've chosen you to increase. And I've chosen you to have lasting productivity. I've chosen you to do something that's going to change the earth. I've chosen you to produce something that otherwise could not be produced if you didn't let me produce it through you. Oh, y'all listening to me here. I've chosen you to bring forth fruit, to add value, to increase, to subdue, to dominate. I've chosen you, and not only that, but that what you put in the earth, what you leave in the earth should remain and have lasting dividends and affect multiple generations. He said, I've chosen you that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And then he goes down, and after he says, I've chosen you to bring forth fruit, then he drops down in verse 18. He said, but you need to understand this. Because I've chosen you, if the world hates you, you just know they hated me before hated you. No, Jesus said, if the world hating on you, don't really think that's about you. It ain't about you. It's about me. What they're really hating is the God in you. What they're really hating is what I'm doing through you. They hate you because I chose you. They hate you because I chose you. Somebody got some haters right now and just say, oh, I'm chosen. You got chosen me. And he said, if they hate you, know that they hated me before you. And then he said, the other reason why they hate you is because you're different. If you were of the world would love his own. He said, but I put something special on you. I put something different in you. I have marked you for blessings. I have marked you for purpose. I've marked you for destiny. So you're not of the world. That's why the world won't celebrate you. But because you are not of the world, and because I've chosen you out of the world, that's why the world hates you. Oh, somebody say good hate. You need to understand, there's some good hate. Stop complaining about your haters and recognize, man, the haters mean I'm chosen. Oh, you can't get rid of all the haters if you're going to be chosen. You can't stop all the hateration if you've been chosen. It comes with it. Jesus said they hate you because I chose you. Also, enemies come because you're favored. Somebody shout, I'm highly favored. Enemies come because you're favored. Genesis 37, 3 and 4, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Every time he looked at that boy, he felt proud. Look what I did. Lord, I thought it was all over. The old man still got it. He was the son of his old age. Said, look at that. Good looking boy too. I was a little concerned how it might come out, but I did all right. He was a son of his old age. And then because of that, he made him a coat of many colors. Again, he chose him out. He distinguished him. He marked him, gave his son of his old age, made this nice, the word we used to use in the 70s, y'all ain't gonna know nothing about this, psychedelic. Psychedelic, many multiple colors. Made him a psychedelic coat. Verse 4, and his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. And they what? They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, we can, it's a message, it's a parenting message for another time. But we can talk about the fact that Jacob should have been wiser than to, you know, show favoritism towards the son and all that, but he did. It is what it is. But what I want you to really see here, in this situation, at least so far, Joseph had done nothing wrong other than being his father's son. And sometimes people hate you because of the family you're in. You were in a blessed family. Come on now. And his brothers saw his father loved him more, and they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. At this point, he's done nothing. Now, later on, he does some stuff. But at this time, he said, I'm just born. I'm just walking in the blessed. I didn't ask for this coat. I didn't ask for this ministry. I didn't ask for this family. I didn't ask for whatever God. God blessed me with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. God chose to bless me. God chose to favor me. And sometimes you're going to have enemies just because you're favored. So if you don't want enemies, stop confessing I'm highly favored. If you don't want enemies, stop saying I walk in the favor of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. If you don't want enemies, stop confessing that I'm surrounded with favor like a shield, because favor going to bring some enemies. Thirdly, sometimes enemies come just because you're a dreamer. Just because you're a dreamer. Just because you dare to believe I'm getting out the hood. Just because you dare to believe, it ain't going to be like this always. Just because you dare to say all my needs are met and I'm out of debt. Just because you dare to dream I'm going to be a millionaire. Just because you dare to believe I'm going to put my children through college with no student loans. Come on now. Just because you dare to believe me and my wife, me and my husband, we will not be divorced. Everybody in my family got divorced, but we're eradicating divorce out of our. Come on. Just because you dare to dream for something bigger, greater, and better. Enemy's going to come. When we go on here about Joseph, Genesis 37 and 8, Joseph told his brothers his dream. You can't tell everybody your dream. Everybody's not going to celebrate your dream. Some people try to wake you up from your dream. Some people try to keep your dream from ever becoming a reality. Joseph told his brothers his dream, and his dream that they were out getting in the field, getting the sheaves of wheat, and then the other brothers' wheat and sheaves bowed down to his. Then he came back and said, Mama and Daddy's did to bow down to me. And his brothers understood the interpretation of the dream. And his brothers said to him in Genesis 37 and 8, he said, Shall thou indeed reign over us? I'm telling us this dream. Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? Now we already see from Genesis 37, 3 and 4, they hated him, had nothing to do with him yet, other than just being favored by his father. But now Genesis 37, 8 said they hated him more because of his dream. Sometimes you can make folks hate you more. Now they hated him more because of his dreams. You can't tell everybody your dreams. Everybody's not going to celebrate your dreams. It's some of y'all, and you'll find out, sometimes you will find out the hard way that everybody you thought was friends is not really a friend. Sometimes they're a competitor. Sometimes you find everybody you thought was a friend, they're not a friend. They're just hanging around just to see what they can mimic and copy. If you got a real friend, they are happy about what God's doing in your life. They're celebrating. You don't want no ladies, single ladies, when you get ready, man. You don't want bridesmaid coming down the aisle telling me, I don't know why he manhood could have had me. I don't know how she got married. He must not even know. I was in college with her. I know how she really was. He may think she's such and such. Come on now. Sometimes everybody's not going to celebrate your dreams. So sometimes you're going to have enemies because you're a dreamer. Let me move on here. Sometimes enemies come with your promotion. Enemies going to come with your promotion. Daniel 6, 3 and 4. The Bible says Daniel again being favored now. And favor is going to bring promotion. One of the byproducts of favor is promotion. When you are favored, God will have people choose to promote you and choose you over other people. Daniel 6, 3 and 4 says this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. He chose three princes, or we would say governors and princes. He said because the excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You need to understand, when people don't like you being promoted, they will try to find things to get you demoted. When people don't like you because whatever, whether they don't like you where you're from, they don't like you because the way you look, they don't like you because of the color of your skin, they don't like you because of your gender, whatever the case, they will try to find things. And so you need to understand, this is a good, it's not just a spiritual point, this is a good practical point for professionals, particularly minority professionals. You better cross your T's and dot your I's. Because there's always somebody who don't think you deserve to be there. And they will try to find occasion to try to point out your faults. The same thing other people get away with, you ain't going to get away with. They will target you, come after you, because they didn't like you for whatever reason already. And now they're trying to give justification to their hateration. Somebody need to tweet that. justification to your head of race. That's what they're trying to do. And so they tried to find fault occasion against him. But he was faithful. Come on. I'm telling somebody, I don't care what they try to do. You just keep having the excellent spirit. You keep being faithful. It said neither was there any error or fault found in him. So he had enemies. And then sometimes y'all enemies come just because you're loved. Somebody say, I'm loved. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm loved. You need to know God loves you. Enemies are going to come just because you're loved. 1 Samuel 18:28-29. When it talks about Saul hating David, the people loved him. They came by. I can't drop a beat. I can't spit some bars, as they say. I can't rap. But they came up with their own rap song regarding David, and the women start saying Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul hearing this every day. The women marching through the street with tambourines. Saul has slain 1,000, but David has slain 10,000. And David hadn't slain 10,000. He just slain one man, Goliath. And Saul saw also, 1 Samuel 18:28, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. Listen, when God got a hand on somebody, you need to just back up off him. If the Lord is with somebody, you can't make God not be with somebody. You can't make God not bless somebody. He said, I'll bless who I want to bless. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And that Michal, his daughter, loved him. God loves him and my daughter loves him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Afraid of his favor. Afraid of his popularity. Look at this. And Saul became David's enemy continually. The Bible didn't say that David had anything against Saul. Saul made himself David's enemy. So you need to understand that sometimes we feel like we're surrounded by enemies. Being blessed brings enemies. Being chosen brings enemies. Being favored brings enemies. Being a dreamer brings enemies. Being promoted brings enemies. Being loved brings enemies. Let me ask the question again. Can you stand to be blessed? But regardless of the type of enemy, I want you to know as I get ready to close this today that God can handle all your enemies. I don't know why. Sometimes I just don't know why. I don't know why people treat me like this. I don't know why I'm going through this. Just be assured that God can handle all your opposition. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was talking to some pastors this week at this conference I was at, and we were in a small chat room, and we were talking, and we told me how, and I said how when we first started the ministry here, there was a lot of hateration. And people hated us because God had his hand on us. They hated me because I came from this city. And like Isaac, they said, the water's ours. I'm digging a well, but they said, the water's ours. and they hated me because some of y'all loved me. I hadn't done anything. And people started saying things and rumors was being spread around. And I would hear the stuff. And then I would come back before the church sometime. I don't do this now. I'll say, I know they saying such and such about me. I know y'all hearing such and such about me. And y'all would look at me like, no, we didn't know that. We didn't hear that. No, we hadn't heard that. And so then I started realizing I was advertising the hate. I was giving voice to their hate. The folks who loved me and was around me, they wasn't even in earshot of hearing all that mess. Sometimes stop focusing on the hate. Stop focusing on the enemy and just focus on the fact that God has his hands on my life and I let God deal with my enemies. I don't have to give voice to it. I don't have to give brain space to it. All I got to do is have an excellent spirit and let there be found no error in me. And God will continue to bless me, promote me, and take care of all my enemies. Oh, my God, my God. So regardless of the type of enemy, God can handle your enemies. Paul said, the scripture says in Romans 12:19, said, dear beloved. He said, I know you love. That's why you got enemies. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves. Stop trying to handle this yourself. Stop trying to deal with this in your own power. Avenge not yourself. Rather, give place unto wrath. Now, let me give you a description here. God said, instead of you trying to avenge yourself and fight your own battle, pull out your own sword and bust the windows out the car, step aside. Let me in that space. Let me handle that for you, and you stay focused on your assignment. You stay focused on pleasing me, because don't come down from building the wall because of some Sanballat and Tobiah who can't stop anything anyway. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, rather give place to wrath. See, God said, you don't have to be mad. I'm mad for you. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Can I tell you, if God said I will repay, that meant that his name is on the line. He has signed, and God never say he gonna pay and don't pay. Come on now. If God tells us to owe no man nothing but to love him, if God owes somebody some vengeance, he'll take care of it. Man, that's good right there. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. You stop lowering yourself down to their standards. Stop getting down in the mud with them. Let them go low. You stay high. Watch me fight your battles. Vengeance is mine. God can handle your enemies. David got revelation of this when he said in Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Now watch this. When the wicked, even my enemies, multiple enemies and foes. Now, I don't know if there's a difference between enemies and foes. Even as I say this, an enemy can just be somebody who don't like you. But a foe is somebody who's actually actively trying to fight you. He said, when my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my flesh, what happened? They stumbled and fell. He didn't say I had to fight them.
You need to know that there is nothing too hard for God. Not only can God do anything, he can do it well. In this series, be encouraged to know that God sees your situation and he can handle it with ease. To order, just call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info and ask for an ambidextrous God.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.